Now we're going to turn to one of our five senses, smell. Smells can evoke memories, tell us about our surroundings, and influence our mood. But can smells help people feel a sense of community? My next guest thinks so. Michelle Kralkid is the editor of the blog Glass Petal Smoke. It's about her endeavors into the world of smell. She's trained in the sense of smell and fragrances. Michelle, why is smell so important to us as humans?
Well, it's probably one of the most important senses that we have. We live in an ocular-centric culture, right? So everything comes to us as vision first. It's tangible. I can hold the glass in front of me. I can see your face. Smell is designed to do two things, basically. To protect us, right? So that we can smell smoke, natural gas, spoiled food. And then also so that we can enjoy life, which means that we get pleasure out of eating because taste plus smell equals flavor. And also so we can smell our loved ones and procreate and various other sundry items.
Now, you have brought three boxes here. We're going to focus on one. This is an aroma box. What is an aroma box?
An aroma box is a repurposed embroidery box from Target that's made of pine wood. So I sort of hacked the purpose, and I hid inside a little container with a blotter that has essential oil. And what that does, because it's an embroidery box with lots of dots going across and down, think of a confession screen in church, right? Kind of like that, or a mosquito net or something like that. You can hold the box under your nose and smell it, and then just kind of let it do what it ever does to your senses. Does it make you remember something? Does it make you feel something? Does it sort of just stop you and make you feel peaceful? Is it agitating? It could do any number of things. But the first thing that a smell does is it hits the part of the brain that manages memory and emotion. So the reason why it's hard to describe a smell is because that's where that signal goes first. And then it goes into the part of the brain that manages language. And so because we live in a culture that's really more ocular-centric, which means we, you know, what we see, we kind of struggle a little bit with coming up with words. We don't know what the right word is. And sometimes that stops people from wanting to say anything or feeling like, oh, what I'm going to say is dumb or stupid. And that really isn't the case, because what informs your vocabulary is your autobiographical memory and who you are. I mean, your essence, just like the essence in the box. So there is no wrong answer to what you're smelling at all. It's the truest truth you can ever get in touch with.
Okay, so we're going to do Douglas fir. This is labeled as Douglas fir. It's a smallish box. And so what should I do? What do you want me to do here?
You know how a trombonist sort of slides the trombone? You need to find the right distance between your nose and the box, and you hold your nose over it. I'd say at least 3 inches, and then start pulling it away or closer to see what you get. And then just kind of be with that. And what's really important as you go through this process is that you allow yourself to be present with the aroma. And you'll have feelings of like, and you might have some feelings of dislike. But this is sort of like meditation. You need to kind of let those float and kind of get to what that is objectively. What do you think when you smell that?
So I'm feeling calm. What does that mean?
That's a good thing. What else? Just let it go. Remember, there are no wrong answers. There's no judgment.
I smell some flowers, some flowery.
There is a floral aspect to this particular essential oil.
And I smell like, you know, so, like I'm camping.
Now I know what you did during the summer.
You know what I'm also, now that I'm thinking of camping, I'm also smelling campfire.
Wow. So you see how it's, all the memories are layering on each other and intersecting. Now imagine if there were 10 people around you in a circle all doing the same thing and telling each other their stories. So I know something about you now because of what you've shared, and it's beautiful. And I might be sitting, or you might be sitting, or someone who maybe they're a different culture, a different race, English is not their first language, and then they're going to have a response. And then we get to learn about something we don't know.
So that's what you do. You hold these events where people do this together, and is that how that happens? They all sit in a circle and smell one of the boxes.
So right now we're using the aroma boxes. This is kind of a new invention that I made. What we typically do at a smell and tell setting is I use blotters made of a paper that's very similar to what watercolorists use, but it's designed for perfume, and I teach people how to smell off that because we usually smell about 8 or 10 things. So you would imagine with these boxes it would be hard to do a lot of that.
And just describe what the smell and tell series of?
Sure. It started in 2012 at the Ann Arbor District Library. Smell and Tell has themes around aroma materials, history. I've done things about musk, patchouli, exotic flowers, smell loss, if you can believe it, things like that. And I teach people the method I learned when I was training in perfumery, which is how to objectively evaluate a material. And so I think raw materials, just like, you know, a dish, tells a story. And that depends on what you've experienced in your life or what your experience right then in that moment, if that material is completely new to you.
My mother-in-law moved here recently from New Mexico. So we packed all of her belongings up in a pod, and it was moved here up to Michigan. And when we opened up the pod, it smelled like New Mexico.
Wow.
We moved everything into our garage, where we're keeping things for the time being. And if we walk into the garage, it smells like we are at her house in New Mexico. Is there a way for us to preserve that, in that smell, to keep that memory in an aroma box like this?
Okay. Wow. Whew. I'm just like kind of overwhelmed by that description because it's very beautiful. In my own experience, I grew up in the Bronx in twin apartment buildings and with people from a variety of cultures and backgrounds. So at around 5 o'clock, you could smell different food smells on different floors at different apartment doors. But the combination of all of those things for me defined the scentscape of that building and my childhood, really. And most people's places where they live have an aroma. They have an aroma because they're using cleaning products. They can wear perfume. They have soap. And then natural materials have a smell. If I gave you the aroma box without an odorant in it, you would smell the cut pine wood, right? So that becomes like right now that's in our scentscape. And that's a term. That's a legitimate term. There's a woman named, I think, Kate McLean, who does smell mapping. And you'll hear that language sort of float around. In terms of recreating that, you know, you're talking about time, dust. So you need to think about what makes you think New Mexico and make a list. And if there are items in nature, if there are essential oils available, you know, you can organize them in the box. And, you know, you don't have to do them the way I did it. I mean, if you have watercolor paper, you just put a few drops, throw it in the box, and it will have a smell. One of my friends actually took raw frankincense and put it inside the aroma box. And that was kind of interesting. It's less strong than putting frankincense oil on a blotter in a container. But she has very strong religious beliefs. So that was something that resonated for her.
It sounds like you perceive smell as being very closely tied to psychology and health. Tell me a little bit more about that.
So there's a few things with it. In terms of health, let's think about the opposite of smell, which is no smell. You can't detect smells. So if smell plus taste equals flavor, the experience of eating is going to be two-dimensional. And so people who lose their sense of smell can lose it for a number of reasons. If you don't wear a helmet and you fall off your bike or your motorcycle and you get a head injury that severs your olfactory nerve, it will not grow back and you will not have a sense of smell. And you could have other problems too. If you have the beginnings of a neurodegenerative disease of the brain, Alzheimer's, dementia, if you have MS, there's other diseases that one of the first signs is smell loss. I'm a little sad about this for a number of reasons because, you know, we can't cure dementia, right? The seed of memory, right? If smell is the catalyst for memory and you lose memory and you don't smell, that makes sense when you think about it, right? So many doctors, when they see patients who are older and have weight loss, will start to think they might have other diseases, you know, even cancer. They never ask them if they can smell. When a baby is born, every sense is tested except smell, and a test for that exists. It's never used. So people who are born without a sense of smell, they are called congenital anosmics, usually don't realize they can't smell until they're in their teen years, and they just kind of yes everything. But they're the ones that get sick from spoiled milk. They're the ones that don't smell natural gas, that kind of thing. So that's the health part. Now, in terms of wellness, I feel like since the sense of smell is memory sense, that when you hear somebody describe something and talk about what they're smelling, like they do at Smell and Tell or in life, you learn about a person. Some people are very attached to likes and dislikes and have a really hard time being in that middle space. And I think, you know, as we get older and wiser, we get more comfortable in that middle space. For me, because I'm a bit of a hybrid, I love art and science and other things, it's very important to stand in a middle space. When you're collaborating, you need to be in a middle space and not have attachment. You know, I think the preponderance of yoga and all these other things that we've absorbed from Eastern culture are because we so desperately need that. If you want to take that on a different spiritual level, you know, our ego is going to drive us to be first, and that needs to be tempered. So I feel like sitting down and smelling something and then sort of being with it and letting yourself kind of go through the human experience of remembering is powerful. I think that these aroma boxes could be used therapeutically. If someone has PTSD, if there are things that make them feel good, they could use it. If someone's in hospice and they're getting ready to transition, maybe there's some things that they love that they'd want. Maybe you lost a loved one, and you going back to your mother-in-law story, you know, maybe there are things you want that remind you of that person. Put them in the box.
Michelle Krell-Kidd is the editor of the blog Glass, Petal, Smoke. It's about her endeavors into the world of smell. Michelle, thank you so much for coming in to talk with me about this.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.